You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Rachel Bartlett. As a journalist, accuracy is the cornerstone of our work. Making sure the information we deliver to our audiences is correct is crucial. So we can probably learn a lot from those organisations which have been set up with the sole purpose of checking facts. In this week's podcast, we find out more about the work of two fact-checking websites, AfricaCheck, which has been focused on South Africa since its launch at the end of October last year and is now moving into three more African countries, and Full Fact in the UK, which launched in January 2010.
We want to achieve two things. One is to make it much easier for people to check claims for themselves, whether that's politicians and journalists before they make those claims in public, or members of the public after those claims have been made, or indeed journalists after those claims have been made. And the second is to make sure that claims that aren't reliable don't keep circulating, because it's so easy for things to become one of those things that everybody knows, even when there's no real basis for it. And we want to challenge that and make it a bit harder for people to just say things with no basis whatsoever, and for that to go on and have a kind of knock-on effects on policy making or what people think about big issues and that kind of thing that we've seen.
That was Will Moy, director of Full Fact, which also just launched an online finder tool to help journalists and others search for the best sources of information and statistics on particular areas. He discussed how resources such as Full Fact can help journalists track down the information they need online and the impact social media has had on this process.
It has its advantages and its disadvantages. Obviously, the peril of Twitter is that once something's got going, it's very hard to get it back again. But the great thing about Twitter is it's so much easier for people to access information. So we've seen in a couple of times a minister making a big speech, and they will make a surprising claim. A journalist will look it up, they'll find our piece, and realise that actually that claim doesn't stack up. And so rather than the story being minister makes this claim, the story starts to be, hang on, your claim doesn't stand up. And that's the kind of thing we can do, not necessarily as soon as we've heard the claim, but if it's a claim we've run across before, then that's all ready to go and you can get that kind of rebuttal in instantly.
When it comes to deciding which claims these sites investigate as part of their own reporting, AfricaCheck has a series of criteria which highlights what it considers the most significant claims. Director Peter Cunliffe-Jones outlines the three main criteria.
What we're looking for is claims that are made in public by public leaders. That's politicians. It can be politicians. It can be business leaders. It can be media houses. It can be any sort of people in prominence in public life that fall into three broad areas. One is politics and justice and society. The other one is business and the economy. And the third one is health, science, and the environment. Second thing is the impact that it would have if it's not checked. I mean, there's a lot of claims that people make, but it doesn't have great impact on society if that topic isn't checked. And the third thing is if it is truly a matter of public debate. We're looking at what people are talking about and what are the sort of significant claims.
Will added that it's also important to consider the potential impact a claim could have further down the line.
What we do every morning, we monitor what's in the press, we monitor what politicians are saying, we look at Hansard, we look at party press releases, obviously keep an eye on social media, and we look for claims that are interesting, that are being talked about. We look for claims that are important, that actually have some kind of consequence on people's lives. And we are especially looking for claims which, whilst they might not be big now, might be big in future. You often see politicians trying out test balloons for claims in lower profile contexts, like obscure debates within Parliament, before they get the big high profile showing. And if you can check a claim before it's become big, it's much easier to make sure that any errors are tracked down and sorted out before a minister has nailed their reputation to them. So we do look for that kind of thing.
AfricaCheck also tries to take a balanced approach to its reporting, so that overall its work has served to hold all sides to account, as Peter explains.
We do then try to balance, make sure that within the that over time we fact check all sides in an argument. So in sort of operating in South Africa, we make sure that we have fact checked claims that have been made by the ANC and the governing party. We also fact check claims by the the opposition, the Democratic Alliance. We fact-checked claims made by trade unions, but we've also fact-checked claims made by businesses. So we're trying to make sure that over time, we're not interested in fact-checking purely one side of an argument. We want to fact-check both sides.
Having carried out their investigations into claims, the challenge then is to deliver this in a clear way, which can be tricky when dealing with a multitude of facts and figures. Full Fact, for example, is currently in the process of looking at better ways to deliver its findings, with a site relaunch due soon. But one presentation point which is crucial to both platforms is to clearly link to all relevant pieces of evidence where mentioned in their reports. Not only does this help the site be transparent, but it also encourages readers to continue to be curious and questioning about information given to them online, even if coming from a fact-checking platform.
We're not asking people to trust us, we're asking people to trust the evidence, and that's crucial. So all the way through, whether it's in terms of setting out what evidence supports the claim that's been made or what evidence undermines it, we sort of add in those links so people can go and check that themselves.
Another challenge for those carrying out fact-checking, apart from in some cases finding the funds to support their work as a non-profit, is adopting the appropriate writing style, which in Full Fact's case should reflect that the content is dealing with fact and not opinion, Will said.
The challenge for fact-checkers, I think, is to know when you're in danger of slipping into giving your opinion, to know where the line is between things that are verifiable and things that are matters of judgment, and to always be willing to stop and say we've reached a point where we can't actually say this and it's up to our readers to judge. But then there are lots of different styles of fact-checking, and Full Fact are at the more conservative end. You know, this is why we ditched our rating system. A lot of the American fact-checking sites have sort of 1 to 5 rating systems from, you know, totally false to totally true. We tried that for a while and we just didn't think it had the right level of nuance.
Of course, fact-checking websites are not the only ones doing in-depth work of this type, and news outlets themselves often run such projects. This is something Peter said Africa Check greatly supports.
Everybody involved with this project has a media background. We completely support the idea and are seeking to promote the culture of fact-checking within the media, within media organisations. For as long as the media does not do this itself, we think there's a place for independent organisations. In many ways, I think nowadays it is difficult to sort of draw a strict definition between what is a non-profit organisation set up as we are, publishing a website, producing reports of sort of about events in the news, and a sort of a media website and a newspaper's website and so on. One of the aims of the project is absolutely to promote fact-checking in existing established media organisations. And so we are working with quite a number of the newspaper groups in South Africa, and we hope to do so elsewhere to promote that and enable that and so on.
In the UK, for example, Channel 4 runs a fact-check blog, and in the US, the Washington Post this year launched a prototype of its Truth Teller app, which works to fact-check video of political speeches, creating transcripts of the audio and comparing the content with a database of already checked claims. It also has a fact-check column, which according to a research paper by the New American Foundation was first launched 6 years ago and is now run by Glenn Kessler. Truth Teller's project manager, Sarah Carruthers, discussed how fact-checker-focused projects like Truth Teller and the Post fact-checker column work in tandem with standard reporting.
Any given speech that a politician gives, so much of it is going to be not entirely true. And I think what fact-checkers do in general is point these out and really go into them in detail. And then what we'll do from like the main article is just link to that fact-check and say, here's more information about this statement in general. It's really complicated, there's a lot more to it, but they require like their own article. So I guess it's linking the story about, you know, the speech in general, what else is going on in politics, with this really in-depth reporting on a particular claim, but doing that automatically, really just because it can be done and it's possible and we want to explore it more.
but she highlighted the enhanced perspective news outlets are able to offer their readers on important issues by offering platforms dedicated to fact-checking on top of their usual reporting.
And the difference between a fact-check article and, you know, a normal sort of daily story in the paper is just, I think, that the fact checks address them more directly head-on, which I just think is it works well with the nature of the Internet. It's very conversational. It goes step-by-step through this stuff. I know Glenn Kessler, I mean, I learn a lot about the state of all these different fiscal bills because he goes through them point-by-point in so much detail. I mean, it's very policy, like history, wonky-oriented, and I think it helps to have someone that is, like, explaining it in a kind of a first-person way where they got information. Because sometimes it's very, there's a lot of gray areas. There's a lot of claims that are hard to evaluate or hard to really reach a conclusion on, but they can at least tell you everything they know about that particular subject.
Will said that while it's important for news outlets to take on these roles internally and be responsible for fact-checking, he feels independent organisations such as Full Fact still have an important role to play in supporting this work. Will said, for example, the Full Fact team does not have to keep to the same deadlines as a daily newspaper, and he also highlighted the importance of turning the spotlight on the media too.
I think definitely the media has fact-checking much more at the forefront of its mind, and we've seen The Guardian do a regular sequence of fact-checks for a while. Obviously, Channel 4 News has done some. I think there's advantages and disadvantages. It's great to see organisations with that kind of platform are putting this challenge into public debate and saying, actually, no, what you're saying does have to stack up. At the same time, a media organisation is highly unlikely to put that same challenge back onto the media in the way that we can. And it's, you know, a classic opportunity to lose friends and influence people. But it's healthy, I think, to have an organisation that sits slightly outside the media trying to do that.
And to conclude, Will highlights the potential risks if fact-checking efforts are not pursued.
People have effectively given up on trusting both what they hear from politicians and actually from a lot of the media too. And the reason for that isn't that people don't believe anything they say. It's that people have enough experience of hearing things they say and finding out that they can't trust it to decide, I'm not sure what I can trust. So it's easier just to say, to hell with all of it. So what we're trying to do is build up a trusted, verifiable approach, which can then carry over into the way other people work. But I think there are two dangers, really. One is the public just give up on politics and the way we talk about it. The other is that we make bad decisions because we have bad information. And we've seen laws be changed on the basis of figures that turn out not to stand up. And that's a real danger.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.